kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole. How are you doing?
I fucking made it to Thursday.
You did make it to Thursday.
Look, that's the biggest, biggest accomplishment I've had, like, all week. So, I'm doing fine.
I am proud of you.
It's been a rough one, Joe.
Well, someone's here to make it better, because for once, we have a stand-up comedian on the show, so our show's actually going to be funny this time. Ryan Niemiller, how are you doing today? How are you doing?
I'm doing good until you put that pressure on me. What if I just wanted to talk, like, you know, politics, my plan to end world hunger? What if I didn't want to be funny during this? Now I feel obligated.
I mean, you don't have to. We're not.
Yeah.
Why start now, right?
Yeah, I'm a follower, okay?
I'll do what you guys do. We laugh a lot on this show for people who are not funny at all.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. You're my kind of people then.
It's a lot of laughter.
I don't know if you know that. Still counts.
Don't worry. We're not laughing at each other. We're laughing at each other.
I appreciate you having me. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. For the people who don't know who you are, give us the elevator pitch of who Ryan Niemiller is.
I'll do the quick Cliff Notes version. I'm a stand-up comedian. Two seasons ago, I got third place on America's Got Talent, so I'm the third most talented person in America, and I have weird-ass arms. That's the easiest way to do it, I think.
Yeah, I think that covers everything. Who were the two funnier people, or who were the two more talented people? Were they, like, anything good?
So, second place was a choir from Detroit. It's the Detroit Youth Choir.
Oh, man. Kids are always going to win.
They had a really cool story. I'm happy for them. We'll just say that. and then the winner was Cody Lee, who is an absolute sensation. He is a singer who is both autistic and blind, and he plays, like, piano, and he's a literal musical savant.
Wow.
There was no way he wasn't winning that show. It was well deserved. There's no sour grapes whatsoever. He was the winner. Well, that's just as simple as I can put it.
Third place isn't bad, though. I would love to be third place at anything ever.
Oh, yeah. It was such a strange sensation because, like, especially for a stand-up comedian, I know this isn't an AGT podcast, so I won't get too in the woods on it, but that show is not designed for stand-up comedians to do well. So to get third place, and especially because every season there's around 70,000 acts or so that try to get on that show. So for me to get third, like, I get so many DMs like, hey man, don't give up. Just don't quit. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, this is the best run I'll probably ever have in my life. Why would I quit now? That's some great encouragement there. Yeah. There's like, man, just don't give up. Like, I got third place on, like, arguably one of the biggest television shows in the world. Like, I think I'm going to be okay.
Yeah, and your sets were fucking hilarious. They were fantastic. I loved him.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's, again, it's a weird, because that show is not designed for comics. So, you know, I'm a touring act. You know, I've been doing it for years. So I'm usually doing 45 minutes to an hour. When you get up there and they're like, okay, you have 2 minutes. Make it count. You're just like, Jesus, okay, I hope this works. And luckily it worked.
Yeah, every time you're on stage, it's the elevator pitch.
That's basically what it is, yeah, because, like, with the like, if you're a singer on that show and you have one rough note, they'll overlook it. If you're a comedian and you have one bad joke, well, you had a bad set, you're done.
Yeah.
So they all have to work.
Man, the only real question I have about AGT, this isn't a gotcha question or anything. It has nothing to do with the judges. It doesn't have anything to do with the host. I want to know, how was Chris Jericho?
Oh, so I can talk Chris Jericho all day. Like, I'll get everyone kind of caught up. When you make the finals, you get to do, like, a duet performance with a celebrity. And for a comedian, that's hard to do because I can't just go up there and tell jokes with Dave Chappelle or something like that. Like, that doesn't work the way that I could for a singer. So I got to do a cool thing with Chris Jericho. I'm a huge pro wrestling fan. A big part of my AGT run was basically, it was pro wrestling. You know, I have the Cripple Threat name. That was going to be my pro wrestling name from way back when I trained to be a wrestler. Club Nub, calling my fans that. That's pro wrestling 101. You know, like that's what that is. So they asked Chris Jericho to come in, and luckily he said yes. Like, if he didn't like me, he wouldn't have come in. So, because he doesn't need the bump of showing up on AGT, you know. So he took time out of his schedule just because he liked me. We got to do that skit. He's super funny. Like, we got along instantly right away. Like, everything that took place during that skit was improv. So we had a very bare bones kind of, like, here's the things they wanted us to do, but they just let us do it. And it went perfectly. It couldn't have been better. That if that would have been the end of it, life would have been great. Because Chris Jericho's, you know, he's one of my heroes. Like, I don't do celebrity hero that often. He's someone I've just been a huge fan of. I was at his debut with the countdown clock. I don't know how inside baseball that is. Yeah, but I was there in the building. I just happened to be in Chicago when he debuted for WWF at the time. And it made me want to be a performer. Like, that energy was what made me go, okay, I'm going to be a performer of some kind.
Were you just there as a fan or?
Yep. Yeah. I was like 16 at the time, 16 or 17. So it was just, you know, we grew up poor. We got to go to like one wrestling show a year. That was kind of like always like a birthday present, is I get to go to one show and I happen to be at that show. So I told Chris that story and he really appreciated it. But like, so even if that experience of just filming that with Chris was the end of it, that would have been amazing. But we've actually become buddies since then.
Oh, that's so cool.
Like, so like we text every now and then. We still catch up. I got to appear on AEW briefly when he filmed. He was doing the stuff for the Bubbly Bunch when he was filming those kind of sketches. He did something called the Manitoba Melee, where it was basically a bunch of like his celebrity and wrestler friends like fake beating each other up through like camera trickery. So I got to be a part of that. So I've technically wrestled in a match, quote unquote.
That is, which is fantastic.
I had Thanksgiving at his house.
What?
It was crazy. Yeah. So yeah. Adult me is very much like, hey, this is so cool. I have this cool new friend that I get along with. He's a great time. 16-year-old me is constantly losing his shit. It's an amazing feeling. My life is very cool.
Damn. Carnage says, well, Ryan is my hero because he's a celebrity comedian achievement whore.
Yes, that is also.
We got to talk about gaming, obviously. As much as I want to talk wrestling the whole time, I know Cole doesn't talk about wrestling.
Yeah. I do want to pick on one thing since we're vying into that's not the word I needed. I don't know. I slept and I just woke up like 10 minutes ago. So humor me.
I'll allow it. Right
before we started this, my English is not going to make any sense. But I wanted to point out that on your Twitter feed recently, you said that you were in Lexington, Kentucky.
Correct.
Which was my neck of the woods.
Okay.
And I didn't even know. I'm about 2 hours east.
Okay. And, yeah. I was there last weekend working at that comedy club.
The best part of the tweet, though, was it said you were wanting people to buy your merch so you could pay off your Xbox Series X pre-order.
That is 100% true as well. That's more so the girlfriend doesn't get mad at me. She's really cool. She understands that gaming's a huge passion of mine. I'm a collector. So I have, as of now, 2000 plus games. I'm still kind of counting. A lot of my stuff's in a storage unit at the moment, so it's hard to get an exact count.
Nice.
But I have 2000 plus games from Atari till now. Like you said, I'm an achievement hunter. That's just something I've always done. My girlfriend's very cool with it. She's very understanding because she knows it was something that, you know, it predates her. But you also have to be respectful as well. We're looking to buy a house. We're looking to do some things. So you can't just be willy-nilly all the time. So that was kind of the deal. She's like, if you sell enough merch, no issues with the Series X. And luckily, everything went well.
I'm jealous. My Series X might be in danger because my wife accidentally ran into another car while parking and fucked up the mirror. It's like $1,000 in repairs.
Oh, that's always a bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hopefully I'll put good gamer vibes out in the universe for you. Then everything works out. You have like two other mirrors, right? You don't need all those mirrors.
Oh, God.
In Kentucky, you only need two out of the three.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're in Pennsylvania, Joe, so that doesn't help you any.
No, not at all.
Y'all might have some more hoity-toity rules up there. You gotta have all three mirrors up in these parts.
Oh, jeez. So, you have a Series X pre-ordered. Do you have a PS5 pre-ordered as well?
I do not. So, I kind of put it in my
They don't have achievements.
That was kind of the deciding factor. I'm going to get both eventually. Like, I'm not someone I think you're cheating yourself out of good games if, like, arbitrarily you're like, well, PlayStation's good, Xbox sucks, or Xbox is good. Like, if you're just trying to be that type of person, I think you're cheating yourself because there's good stuff on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just so ingrained in the Microsoft infrastructure at this point. You know, I'm an achievement. I've been, you know, on like the True Achievement site, for instance, for, you know, 7-8 years at this point, well before any kind of success with like AGT or anything like that. This is kind of what I've always done. And I'm just like so in there. Most of my close friends who are gamers are on the Xbox side. That's really what the decision was. It's not anything. It's not that I think one is better than the other. I try not to go in those terms. If games are fun, they're fun. You know, and I think that's how it should be. But for me, it felt a little much to get both of them day one at the same time when they're both $500 consoles.
Yeah.
So I kind of, just because I've been in the Xbox infrastructure for so long, I leaned that way for getting it day one.
That makes sense. And it seems like the Xbox might be harder to get than PlayStation.
Well, I mean, that Bethesda deal dropping the day before, I think, was God, a yeah. factor in it. You know, that's a big deal. And you know, the console's going to be strong. Like both are going to be great. Like I'm not someone who gets so wrapped up in this one has this many teraflops and this one, they're both going to be strong enough that it's not going to matter to 99% of the people out there. That's not a factor, but you know, I just prefer the way that Microsoft's going. I like that they seem to be a little more gamer friendly. You know, I like that they're like, hey, we just want to sell Game Pass. We don't give a shit about, like, you know, like this. We want people just to be around playing these games. And if you do it on our box, awesome. Like, I sort of like that mentality.
Somebody playing Game Pass on a Chromecast.
Really?
You do it on a Chromecast?
You can sideload the APK on a Chromecast and play it. Yeah.
That's actually impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's 720p, but it's a game.
It still counts. Yeah, I think the Bethesda deal makes Game Pass must buy if you're not a physical collector like me. The reason I've never gotten Game Pass is I own so many of those games physically already that it's not a benefit to me at the exact moment. But I think that makes that super impressive. And then even if they decide to do, you know, if they make Elder Scrolls 6 an exclusive, like that's a huge deal. That's
oh, God, yeah.
You know, so.
And Elder Scrolls 6 is so far out that there probably wasn't much, if any, development done on console to scrap a version to begin with. So that might be a true Xbox exclusive.
Yeah. And either way, I think with that purchase, like Microsoft is in such a good, they could either be, okay, we're going to make these games exclusive now. So if you want to play these big popular games, you have to come over to us. And that's a smart move there. Or they could be good guy Microsoft. And just be like, hey, we're still going to put these on PlayStation and we'll just take that that publisher cut and still make our money that way.
Here they have a benefit as well if they go the route like Epic has everything on, you know, Rocket League is still on everything, even though it became Epic exclusive.
Well, it's not on Steam anymore.
Well, you can't download it, but if you owned it, it's still there. I still play it on Steam. If you... You can download it anywhere, but you have to sign in with your Epic account in order to play. Xbox could very much take that approach and just be like, well, you got to sign in with your Xbox account. Once you got an Xbox account, then you're unlocking achievements and then you're getting attached to your account because you've got a subscription on it. You got, you know, your game history on it. Your games are attached to it. And now, fuck, might as well go buy an Xbox.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it only helps them. And like, and I don't think they'll go this route, but it can also open up things like, you know, Sony's, because they've been, you know, the winner. I think objectively, even if you're an Xbox fanboy, PlayStation won that generation.
No, yeah, easily.
Mm-hmm. You know, so
I think Xbox could have, but the marketing in the beginning fucked it.
Oh, yeah. They never recovered from that. Never recovered. They walked back on it almost instantly, but everyone just went, nope.
Yep.
Like, you know, their marketing was so bad. Because I think people forget, like, the big the PSN breach when it got hacked.
Mm-hmm.
That was only, like, a year and a half before PS4 launched.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the biggest data hack of all time at that point. And Xbox marketing was so bad that people went, like, I'm going to go to PlayStation. I don't care if I get my information stolen.
Yeah.
At least I don't have to have a Kinect.
I like, love my Kinect.
Bad.
I like Disney Fantasia. And Fru was good.
Yeah,
Central was still fun.
My kids still play with their Kinect.
Yeah, but I think that, like I was saying, I think something that Xbox can do, they can get Sony to play nice a little bit, because Sony's not wanted to do, they've been really reluctant to do like crossplay and things like that. So in theory, they could be like, hey, you're going to play nice with us on things like this, or you're not getting Elder Scrolls. You're not getting Fallout. You're not getting Doom. You know, they can kind of strong arm them at least a little bit to be like, hey, let's just like play nice. This doesn't have to be so contentious on that.
They've kind of got a carrot on a stick, too, there to keep Sony on the line, is that they're releasing two PlayStation exclusives.
Yep.
They bought the rights to them when they bought ZeniMax.
Yeah, so and that's that good guy Microsoft.
Yeah,
you know, like that kind of attitude.
Like they could have very much went, nope, you know, and because they bought it was theirs. They could do whatever they wanted. They would have, a breach of contract would have been nothing for, you know, Microsoft to pay for.
Yeah, you could pay $7.5 billion just to buy the stuff. I'm pretty sure whatever that lawsuit is.
They like, were, the, you okay. know, their accountants had already done the math on that, and they were like, we don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
So, what are your thoughts on the Bethesda deal? Do you think we'll see Xbox keep the exclusives, or do you think that Sony will embrace your suggestion of accepting an olive? Do you think we might see IP exchanges?
You know, it's hard to say, because, like, the more that I've been reading up on it, I keep flip-flopping, because, like, I'll hear one argument that says, like, you know, there's no way they'll do something like make Elder Scrolls exclusive, because there's too many people in the PlayStation infrastructure to, like, lose out on the publishing money that they would make from that. So you go, okay, so clearly they're not going to make these big ones exclusive. But then you go kind of the other way, where you're like, well, you don't pay $7.5 billion to not, like, really take advantage of what you're paying for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you make Game Pass. At the very least, even if people don't buy a Series X, you make Game Pass, which seems to be their focus, a must-buy. If all those games are going to be day one release for the $10 a month on Game Pass, like, putting it exclusive there makes sense. So it's really hard to say. As someone who gets so frustrated, because again, I play stuff on both consoles, so it's not like I'm so loyal to one or the other, but the biggest, you know, the optics for Xbox is always they have no exclusives. They have no exclusives. That's always the optics. Like, oh, I'm going to be PlayStation because they have these exclusives. Do you change those optics now by making some of these exclusives? I think you almost have to on some. I think it's going to be case by case. But I think there will be some things that are just exclusive that are going to surprise people. Like, I can see a new Doom being exclusive to there, or at least exclusive DLC, that type of thing.
Yeah. I see a lot of people, you know, saying they're going to miss out on so many sales if they don't put Elder Scrolls 6 on PlayStation. Well, they would miss out on all those sales if they don't put Halo on PlayStation.
Right.
Why wouldn't they put all of their franchises on PlayStation if they're going to start releasing on PlayStation? Put fucking Forza Horizon on PlayStation. There's nothing as good as Horizon on PlayStation.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, I know tons of PlayStation owners who are like, I would play Halo if I could. I'm not buying a whole new box for it. But, like, I'm interested in Halo. It's just not enough to make me buy another $500 machine. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I totally agree with that. I feel at least of now, unless they colossally screw something up, which would not be out of the realm of a video game publisher doing.
True.
I think they're win-win because no matter what they do, I think it's beneficial for them in this situation.
Either they get the extra sales on PlayStation or they got the exclusives to sell Xboxes.
Yep. And Game Pass. Yeah. So I think
it's Game Pass.
It was quite a get.
All about Game Pass. you mentioned you are a collector. I want to know, what are some of your coolest collectible items?
So the coolest stuff that I have, I don't have any. I have some pretty pricey stuff, but nothing. I don't have, you know, I'm not rocking stadium events or you know, anything like that just yet. One of my buddies does. He has it, and it's the most nervous I've ever been in my life holding something. It was absurd because, yeah, he's a buddy of mine. He's a collector. He has a complete in-box NES collection.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's one of the most impressive things I've ever seen. Just to know that stadium events can probably sell for about $100,000 and then they let me hold it. I was like, dude, I don't even trust myself. I don't know what you're doing letting me touch this thing right now.
That's insane. In box, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeez.
Craziness. Yeah. Some of the cooler stuff that I have that I'm a really big fan of. It's not the priciest thing in the world, but Legend of Zelda Link to the Past is my favorite game of all time. Nice. Even with how big my collection is, I still play it once or twice a year, every year. That was one getting a pretty close to mint inbox, you know, version of that was very important to me. One of the cool things, and I'm just so deep into it now, I wish they would stop making new ones, but I have a complete inbox North American Amiibo collection.
Nice.
Wow. Yeah.
It's very cool. I got into it really early and I've gotten pretty good at finding them. But like, as much as I love them, every time they announce new ones, I'm like, damn it, Nintendo, just quit it.
You have all of them from all the series?
I do. Yep.
Damn. Why would you get like some of the Animal Crossing ones?
because those went up in price as soon as Horizons came out. It was just one of those things. I was just into it, and I already had all of them kind of going forward. So now it's become one of those like snowball effects. If new ones come out, I gotta get them.
New ones tomorrow.
Yep. They're already on their way.
Nice.
So I got the shipping notice this morning, so they're coming.
I pre-ordered off Best Buy. I'm not getting mine until Tuesday because I didn't want to pony up for shipping.
Yeah, they're just sending them to me. So I got those, and it took me a little struggle, but I think Cat Peach and Cat Mario. There's going to be new Monster Hunter ones, which are going to be a pain in the ass to find. I'm still waiting to see when the pre-order for those are dropping.
You have all the Japanese Monster Hunter ones?
What's that?
You have all the Japanese Monster Hunter ones?
I do not. So right now, the stuff that I'm technically missing, I don't have a full worldwide Amiibo set. So I have Box Boy, which is one of the pricier ones.
Whoa.
It's a Japanese exclusive. So I do have that.
Wow, I want to see a picture of that one sometime.
I'll DM you one after when I get a hold of it. Right now, that's my Amiibos are in the storage unit, so that's part of the thing. But when I get one, I'll send you a picture.
Nice.
So I don't have the Monster Hunter ones for Japan. I don't have all the Amiibo cards. I consider that a different thing. So I have. Almost, I'm going to finish it up because I'm pretty close. I have most of the Mario Sports Superstars Amiibo cards because that's a smaller set. But I think the Animal Crossing card is like 400 plus cards or something ridiculous.
Yeah, there's too many of those.
Yeah, I arbitrarily have like 15 of those that someone gave me. if I ever found like a good deal on like a lot of like packs or something like that, I would probably buy it just to kind of start it. But I don't consider those... they're not priority by any means, but trying to finish it out. But the North America, that's one of my proudest things. It's one of the closest to a complete sets that I have.
Damn, that's really so. You have like Golden Shovel Knight and Golden Mega Man.
Yep.
Damn.
I have two Golden Mega Mans because I needed one to put on my wall as well because I didn't want to open the Amiibo bundle.
Nice.
Because it originally came with just that Mega Man 11 Amiibo bundle. That's a different one. I was talking, that one came with the Mega Man Legacy Collection 3DS bundle. That's what that was. Wow. So I have two of those, yeah.
That is nuts.
I get weird on certain things, so I'm a completionist collector. That's why I like achievement hunting as well.
The one big American Amiibo I'm missing is the giant Yarn Yoshi.
Yeah, I got super lucky and found that when I was on the road at a random Toys R Us.
Nice.
When Toys R Us was still a thing. I think they went out of business like a month later.
Rip. F in chat for Toys R Us.
Yes, F in chat, please.
I don't have any Amiibos. I feel so lost in this conversation.
You don't like Amiibo. You don't like wrestling. What the hell's your problem, Cole?
I do have one really cool collectible. One. Well, maybe two, I guess, depending on how you feel about Sea of Thieves. I have some pre-release Sea of Thieves posters.
Okay.
But my one really cool one that I'm super proud of is I have, and I've mentioned on the show before, anybody else that's ever heard this is not going to be surprised by this, but I have the prototype Bronto Gas metal sign from when Xbox was preparing to open the State of Decay store for the first game.
That's cool.
And so it's this huge metal sign with the Brontosaurus skeleton with the gas head logo. And it says Bronto Gas on it, but because it's the prototype, it wasn't proper quality, and so it's kind of blurry. And as far as I know, they never actually added those signs to the store. So I don't think anybody else has one at all. It might be the only one.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's like right. Like I don't care about State of Decay, but anything that's one of one is very cool.
So State of Decay is my shit. I love State of Decay. Actually, I wanted the dev team Undead Labs was doing a giveaway right before the store launched on Twitch. They were doing giveaways in their channel, and that's how I won it. And I think I'm the only person that has it.
Nice.
Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah, I love collecting odds and ends of things. Like I'm going for complete collections of consoles. I'm almost done with the Wii U collection, which I tried to get in on that because I knew it was going to get expensive because nobody bought Wii U's. So some of those are really hard to find. I have a version of every game. I still have some variants I need to get eventually, but a couple of those are going to cost me like $3,000 a piece.
Holy Jesus.
You're
going
to have to do some big shows for that.
What kind of variants are you looking for?
So the few things that I still need, I need a couple of like Nintendo Selects versions of things that weren't very rare. There's a couple controller bundles. Like there's like a Nintendo Land had a Luigi Wiimote bundle that was it's pretty rare. That I'm just waiting for a good price on. The two bigger ones that like the really the holy grails of the Wii U collection. There are limited edition versions of Mario Kart 8 and Hyrule Warriors that were only sold in North America at the Nintendo New York store. So you had to be there that morning to actually get one. They never did it online, anything like that. So those are really hard to find.
What was special about them?
They were just kind of bundles. I think they had like, I'm going to be a little off on this, but like, I think there was like a cloth map that came with the Hyrule Warriors. And there was like a little statue that came with the Mario Kart. Just like, it was like an extra bundle. They did the Mario Kart 8 bundle in Europe. It's very common there for like the PAL region of it. But they only did it at Nintendo New York for whatever reason in North America.
Europe gets some good shit that we never get.
Yeah, I would be at that store all the damn time if I could just for... I love stuff like that and I would have camped out for that one. But it is what it is. I'll maybe eventually... Someone will be a big enough fan of mine to gift it to me because I think that's the only way my girlfriend will allow me to spend that much money on a video game that I already own another version of.
Oh, my Lord. So any other cool oddities in your collection?
I'm trying to think of some of the stuff I have.
I should sell you my shit. Like I have so many statues behind me. If anyone ever watches us on Twitch, they could just see all the copious amounts of statues and shit that's behind me that I need to unload. I'm a hoarder. Ashley's mad at me. She's like, you're getting more collector's editions.
You can't even see 75% of the ones you have.
Getting the Assassin's Creed Valhalla and the Watch Dogs Legion collector's editions. The Watch Dogs Legion one comes with a skull with an LED headband.
That is amazing.
Actually. It looks really cool. Not a headband, like a crown, I think.
I'm so looking forward to Legion. I'm almost finished up with two. I finally got around to playing that this summer, actually. I just have a couple of multiplayer achievement things to do. I think those games get a bad rap. I enjoyed the first one a lot more than a lot of people did. Aiden Pierce isn't exactly the most interesting person on the planet, but I didn't think it was worthy of all the hate that it got.
I didn't think it was that bad.
Yeah, I thought it was a perfectly harmless. I liked the world. I liked just kind of dicking around and messing with the hacking and stuff. I thought it was fun for what it was. I thought 2 improved on a lot of that. The third one, I'm excited to see how the hack anybody or like recruit anybody works, basically.
What character are you going to pick first?
I don't know. Probably some old lady.
Nice. Everyone's going to go with the old lady first.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of like taking someone that's not traditionally a badass and trying to make them a badass.
As an old lady that uses a cane, I would like to argue that I'm perfectly capable of being a badass.
My bad. As a grown man with a disability, I get my ass beat. So I have many strengths, and fighting is not one of them.
I like to tell my husband that just because I'm disabled doesn't mean I can't wear shit kickers.
Perfect. Problem is, I have no reach. Like, you could defeat me in a fight like an old cartoon where they like put their hand on their forehead and just let them swing wildly. You could beat me that way.
Oh, man. You could kick, though, can't you?
I have a mean kick. If I get there...
Just go for the shins, man. Too.
If you ever get in a fight with me, I'm going for the eyes and the groin. That is all I'm focusing on.
That's the way to fight. Fuck rules.
Channel your inner llama and just spit at them.
There we go. Well, especially now, during like
especially
all this.
Especially now.
Yeah, this is the last thing I would want. I would rather you punch me than spit on me right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't spit. I don't want to get arrested for like bioterrorism if I spit on someone.
Exactly.
It's scary now. So what are you playing now? What are you enjoying and spending your time on these days?
What am I playing now? So I just finished up Watch Dogs. I kind of have a podcast that I started where it's about getting through my backlog. It's called Baby Got Backlog. So
and where can people find this podcast?
Twitter. So as far as like found the pages, Twitter and Facebook, it's just at Baby Got Backlog. And the podcast is on everything you would expect. All the big ones, the iTunes, the Spotify, the Pandoras, the et cetera, et cetera. It's basically me and my best friend from college. He is basically forcing me to sit down and actually play some of these games. So he picks one for me every week, and then we sort of review it afterwards. So I've been playing some stuff off of there that I've really enjoyed. Finally got around to Super Mario Odyssey, which I liked. Played Fall Guys this last week. I usually don't jump onto these kind of like battle royale fad kind of games, but I'm loving Fall Guys. It is so much fun.
Yeah, that's an addictive one.
God, but that's not on Xbox. It doesn't have achievements.
It does not. That's nothing new. I'm trying to get myself out of that mentality because I collect for everything, but I just generally play Xbox because I love, like, it's so good for my endorphins to unlock achievements that I always want to keep going.
It's
there.
It's that sound in the bloop.
It's so nice. So I'm trying to jump out a little bit and play other things because I'll know I'll get around to stuff eventually, but I have missed some stuff because I'm trying to bump gamer score or there's some contest that I'm doing or something like that. So it's I'm getting out there a little bit more. So Fall Guys was a big one. I'm going to keep playing that casually. And then this week I'm finally getting around to starting Hollow Knight, which I've been wanting to play for a while.
I've had that on my list. I even have it installed on my PC, and I still haven't played. I have it installed on the PC and the Xbox because it's in Game Pass.
Oh, yeah. I think I accidentally have like 3 versions of it.
Accidentally. 4 versions. We know that you get multiple versions on purpose at this point.
Oh, but sometimes. Sometimes. So I'm going to tell you what's happened, why I have four versions of it. So originally, I bought it on GOG because that's what it was available for. And I like GOG because they don't have any DRM. I appreciate you can just play the game and that's what you play. Bought it on that. Played it a little bit on there. Didn't get super deep into it. Then I ended up buying it on Xbox. So I was like, oh, it just released on Xbox. I can get achievements for it. So I'm going to play it over on there. I'm also a Twitch Prime member from having the Amazon Prime. It was one of the free games they gave away for there. So I have a version for that. And then I bought a collector's edition for the physical version for the Switch because it just looked damn cool. So I have four versions of this damn game.
Did that have a plush with it or something?
What's that?
Did that have a plush with it or something? The physical version?
It's a plush or a statue. There's some kind of cool little thing. And it was kind of done on a limited release sort of thing. I did that for I like limited run games. I'm a big fan of that. So anything that does those kind of releases, I try to support. I got Golf Story the same way, the one that has like the golf trophy in
nice.
It.
Nice. I like that one. I saw that at MAGFest, and I thought that looked really cool.
Yeah, I agree. It looked very cool. Again, I'll play the game digitally because I had already bought it before they announced that they were doing a physical version. But I think it just looks really, really cool. It looks really sharp on a shelf, especially.
Yeah, I like my statues and physical collector's editions. And the new Kingdoms of Amalur game, I ended up buying digital and physical just so I could have the statue on my shelf next to my other Kingdoms of Amalur statue
from
the original release.
You can have them fight.
Terrible.
Yes. They're action figures. No.
They're not dolls. They're action figures.
It'll be weird when I get an Amalur body pillow. But until then,
that is true. Yes. Yeah.
I think the fact that you know that that's a thing that you could possibly get already made it weird.
It'll hold me tight at night.
Yes. I like already, the troll.
You expose yourself.
Oh, man. Well, Ryan, I know we've been chatting for a while. Is there anything that you wanted to discuss that we didn't bring up?
No, man. I can talk nerd shit forever. This is kind of my wheelhouse.
Do you want to hang out and chat the news with us? Because we got news to go over this week.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
All right. The big news this week today, the new Smash Brothers fighter was unveiled. And the new Smash Brothers fighter is Minecraft Steve. How amazing
Steve
is that?
Alex?
Steve, Alex, Zombie, and Enderman.
Oh, I didn't know it was the other ones, too.
Yeah, they have skins for Zombie and Enderman as well.
Wow.
I don't know. I'm all for it. I think it's very cool, actually. I'm not a huge Minecraft guy, but I don't think there's any doubting that that's one of the most successful games ever.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are into that game. So I think it's a smart character pick.
And the block mechanic looks interesting.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
This whole thing was the fever dream of a child sitting in their room with their little Minecraft Steve action figure and a little Mario action figure and going, now kiss! And this is what we got.
I think that's what Smash Ultimate has been. It's just been like a crazy fever dream of crossovers. It's insane.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that the original theme of the game? Is that like the story behind it? Is it supposed to be, that's like what Master Hands is? It's just like a kid playing with action figures?
Yeah.
So, yeah, this makes total sense. I think it... Again, I'm not a big Minecraft person, but I think it's a very smart, strong character choice. Who knows how they play, but I think as far as just a character pick, I think it's good.
You see that it's weird that this is the second Microsoft character to show up in Smash Brothers?
Yeah, what was the first one?
Banjo-Kazooie.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, again, it comes to part of good guy Microsoft. They try to play nice with other companies.
Not 100% the same, but Rivals of Aether is on Switch, and Ori is a character in Rivals of Aether.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Originally, he's a DLC character, but in the Definitive Edition, he's just there. So, and that's also a beat 'em up. So.
Yeah, it's on Switch and Steam and Xbox. Surprisingly, not on PlayStation. I wonder if Ori's the reason that's not on PlayStation.
Is that game any good? I think it was just starting.
Yes, absolutely.
It's one I've been eyeballing for a while, but I was like, it looks a little daunting.
If you like the Smash style gameplay, absolutely.
Okay. I'll take a look at it.
Yeah, it's I don't even particularly like that kind of gameplay, and I've still played Rivals of Aether and enjoyed it because Ori was in it, and I'm an Ori whore.
Hey, whatever it takes.
Yeah, I'm unapologetic about my love for Ori.
A whore?
Yeah.
Is that what fans are called? They're called whores.
They are now.
It's a new month, which means new games with gold, new PlayStation Plus, new Twitch Prime games for everybody. Games with gold, Xbox One lineup through the entire month of October. You get Slayaway Camp, Butcher's Cut. Then October 16th through November 15th is Made of Skur. Oh, you liked that one, didn't you?
I did. And also, we all know how much I love Slayaway Camp.
Yes.
And also, Aki should be happy because she was mad at me for taking Made of Skur for the review, and Ness is going to have it.
And then backward compatible, the first half of the month is Sphinx and the Cursed Mummy. Second half of the month is Costume Quest. Overall, I would say a decent month for Xbox. Nothing really stands out as amazing, but freeze-free.
I'm on board with the Halloween theming.
Yeah.
I think that's the first time they've legit done that for all the games.
Yeah, I think it's not going to blow your hair back. It's not going to be a 10 out of 10 game of the year for you. But if you haven't played Costume Quest, it's a very kind of cute, fun, short kind of turn-based RPG that's got some good humor and the art's really good. I highly recommend that one, especially, you know, if you're going to get it for free, it's a good use of 6 hours of your gaming time.
Oh, yeah.
And Costume Quest 2 was free a while back. So if you had that and hadn't played it yet, now you can play them both in order.
Yeah, there's a lot of intense lore of Costume Quest well, that you just can't get into.
I have this odd quirk that I really hate to play games out of order. So you know, I had Costume Quest 2 and not played it because I was like, I'll wait till I get Costume Quest 1 on sale or something.
I tease you, but I'm 100% in that same boat. Don't worry. It's arbitrary. Like, I have so many weird quirks like that. Like, I won't watch anything like on Netflix, for instance, until the show is done, because I want to make sure that the entirety of the thing is available for me to watch. I won't play, even if the game's that, like, I have trouble playing Final Fantasies out of order, and none of those connect at all.
Yeah.
Still, I'm like, no, I haven't beat one yet. I can't go into seven until one's done.
Somebody was trying to sell me really hard on Kingdom Hearts 3, which, first off, good luck with that. And second off, I couldn't do it because at the time, and I kept telling them, I was like, I can't. Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2 isn't on Xbox.
Well, now they're all on Xbox.
But now I just have to fall back on the, I have no interest in playing that shit.
Like, look, I was trying to be nice to you. I just don't want to play it that much. I was trying to let you down easy.
Yeah, there's a point where my tolerance for saying I don't want to play that hits a wall.
Yeah, Kingdom Hearts is weird because, like, I love that there's a ton of lore to it, but, like, you have to have played, like, weird mobile games to be able to get the full story, and, like, I think there was, like, a Japanese takeout menu that had story on it. Like, they do so many weird things.
That's when you have to go to one of those fandom wikis just to understand what half the characters even are talking about.
Right.
Yeah, Kingdom Hearts is just way too deep for me. I don't have the patience for it.
I don't have time for that shit. Do you know how many Radalekas are released every month?
And now's a good time to play those Radalekas because Xbox is doing their Hall of Fame thing where if you go onto the rewards app and sign up, you can get up to 10,000 reward points or up to 10,000 achievement points.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're doing another one of those? I didn't see that.
And any game. So fire up the rewards app and activate it. I missed out on like 180 points because I forgot.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Make sure you go activate it because if you don't, you're just SOL.
Is that a Game Pass rewards or just the standard rewards?
Just standard rewards.
Okay, good to go.
Yeah.
Well, let's hurry this up so I can go activate that.
All right, well, PlayStation Plus lineup for October is Vampire, solid game there, and then Need for Speed Payback, which, not as solid. I wasn't a fan of Payback.
Wait, wasn't that the one before the last one?
Yes. I've seen Payback on sale for $5.
That was the bad one, right. Yeah. I played a lot of it with Suda, and still, we just go, that one was bad.
Yeah. It'll be free on Plus, so.
You know, hey.
And you can't beat the price.
Yeah, true. And then Twitch Prime, their game lineup, they have Dead Age, Surf World Series, Layers of Fear, Silver Chains, and Jay and Silent Bob Mall Brawl. I didn't even know they made another Jay and Silent Bob game.
I didn't know there was one at all.
I think there's two of them now.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, that's weird.
Yeah.
For the price, I'll take a gander. It's hard to...
Yeah, free on Twitch Prime. I'll give it a go. Looks interesting. Overall, I think it was an okay month for everyone, but nothing really amazing.
Yeah, I think everyone's, at least on the PlayStation and Xbox side, I think they're in a holding pattern, just waiting for the new consoles.
Yeah, I think next month is going to be crazy. But it seems like Xbox is putting all of their eggs into the Game Pass basket, because there's a lot of games coming to Game Pass. October 1st, we got Doom Eternal on console and Android, with PC coming later on this year. And Cole, PC got Drake Hollow.
It did, and I already have it installed.
Is it a separate achievement list?
No, it is not. It is cross-save, cross-play, and play anywhere.
Nice.
Yeah, except for on Steam, you can't cross your save there, obviously. But yeah. Between Xbox and Windows 10, you can.
Yeah, play anywhere.
Yeah.
So, and then on October 8th, console and PC is getting Eichenfell. Console is getting Brutal Legend, which is awesome. Okay. And then Forza Motorsport 7 is hitting console, PC, and Android.
Okay. Yeah.
I actually just started that two nights ago to finally get around to it. I had finished all of the Forza Horizon games 100%, which is insane that I even put that time into it.
100%?
So oh, yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
That is impressive. That is very impressive.
Yeah, it's something. It's if you want to go with impressive, I'm going to allow you to do that.
Oh, man. But it's not all good news. A couple of games are leaving Game Pass on October 15th. Console and PC is losing Felix the Reaper, Metro 2033 Redux, and Minute. And then PC is losing State of Mind and Saints Row 4 Reelected.
Oh, shit. I need to go play Felix the Reaper.
Yeah, so some nice games leaving, but at least we're getting a lot on the way, and I'm sure more Bethesda games are going to be following suit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And didn't they say they were adding Doom not too long here?
Today.
Yeah, Doom Eternal just hit today, yeah.
Oh, okay. I think I missed when you said that. I zoned out for a second.
I know, I'm easy to ignore.
Don't mind me, I was just thinking about Forza Horizon.
Me too, I can't wait for a new one. Is it 5 yet? I want Forza Horizon 5.
Man. Yeah, I think the next one will look pretty. Like that's enough for me. I like the motorsport games. I know they're not as exciting as Horizon, but they're what I call my do other stuff games. So if I'm like catching up on YouTube or podcasts or anything like that, if I'm watching videos of like my sets to figure out what I want to put online or whatever, it's kind of nice because you don't need to really be listening to Forza Motorsport. You can kind of just keep your hands busy. I think they're great for that.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it coming to Game Pass. A lot of people didn't think that Forza 7 would show up on Game Pass because it was before Game Pass deals were figured out or whatever else. Mm-hmm. But it's coming and it's hitting everything. So that is cool. And then EA Play, they announced that is coming on November 10th to Game Pass Ultimate.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Because like I've been staring down the Plants vs. Zombies battle for Neighborville, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I've been staring that shit down every time it goes on sale. Like, should I get it? Because me and the kids love Plants vs. Zombies. And I get so close. I'll have my finger on the button. And then I'll go, no, wait. and it worked out for
me. You should just get EA Play.
Well, I mean, I will now that I have Game Pass.
Yeah, a month away.
I'll be able to play it all I want.
It's crazy that the new consoles are just a little over a month away.
That is crazy. That's scary. I thought I was going to have a little more time.
Well, they waited so long playing chicken with each other for freaking months. I'm like, oh, no, you go first with announcing the price. No, you go first.
Yeah, that was frustrating. So now
they've actually done it. We're like, oh, shit, it's tomorrow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And November 10th is also the day that Yakuza Like a Dragon will be releasing for Xbox One, Series X, Windows 10, PS4, and Steam. And then the PS5 version won't be around until March 2nd. So Xbox has the next gen exclusivity for like 4.5 months for some reason.
I find some humor in that because initially when they announced Like a Dragon, they were like, the release date's November 13th. And then like a couple weeks ago, they were like, okay, so we lied. We couldn't tell you. It's November 10th. And so now you know there's people who are going to be pissed because somebody somewhere has put in time off at work for November 13th. And then the game's going to come out on the 10th.
I mean, if you're taking time off for new games and new consoles, you're taking that whole fucking week off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're using that that PTO. You're using that vacation time.
God, yeah. Reports are out that the Series X, after operating system and whatever space, is only going to have about 800 gig of usable hard drive space.
That's pretty normal.
It makes me sad, though. It's so little space.
I think, though, I'm curious to see what install sizes for games look like. And I know that we saw influencers start to pop up and going, hey, I got my Series X today. So maybe somebody will slip and say what an install size is soon.
Because that's what I'm most bigger. Curious in.
Mm-hmm. You
know, they are, but
they're not, I don't think they're going to get astronomically smaller at this point.
No.
That's true.
Yeah,
I don't know. I might regret it later,
but I bought one of the proprietary SSD expansion ports.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I still don't think it's going to be enough long term, but 2 gigs feels better to me than 1 gig.
I am one of those people who just juggles the, like, I've had the 500 gig install internal hard drive until I think it's about a year or so ago. I won a solid state drive from a giveaway. And that's the only time that I bothered expanding the space. I just dealt with it. But I'm lucky enough to be in a position to have gigabit internet. So it's like, it doesn't matter. There's no data cap. So I just delete and install at will.
Apparently, you're like one of the luckiest human beings for winning giveaways. Like,
that's
all you've mentioned. I don't want all this cool shit you've won.
She has won so much shit, even on this show before she started, you know, writing reviews and then doing reviews and then co-hosting the show. She used to win all the goddamn time.
That's why he started having me do reviews. So I would stop giveaways.
Fucking winning all the time.
I'm tired of mailing you my stuff.
Oh, my Lord. Let's see. Torchlight 3 is launching October 13th on Xbox One, PS4, and Steam, and is coming soon to Switch. So Torchlight 3, right around the corner. I can't wait for that one.
I had to look that up. It was not what I thought it was.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why. I always get Torchlight and Deadlight.
Oh, yeah.
Mixed up. And then I'm always disappointed because I liked Deadlight.
Well, I like Torchlight, so.
Okay, well, congratulations on your new game. And get fucked.
Very aggressive. Are you sure she actually won things or didn't just, like, threaten you until you sent things?
She threatened me. Send help. Help me. Help me.
I'm handcuffed to a radiator as we speak.
Oh, my God. Last bit of news that I have is that the long-rumored but never-confirmed Mass Effect Trilogy remaster is allegedly delayed into 2021. Reports were that it was supposed to come out in October, but that's apparently not happening, even though, again, the game has never been confirmed yet.
That is such a video game, like, industry thing. Like, there's not even any real proof that this exists, but we also know that it's been delayed.
Yeah.
Like, when it's just, man, if it comes out, it'll come out, and if it doesn't, it doesn't.
What was the game?
Mass Effect Trilogy.
Oh.
Do you not pay attention to me when I... What the hell?
I do, but I was reading chat for a second.
No one pays attention to me when I talk.
Who are you?
You're mean.
Silence. Get back to winning me codes.
Well, that's the news I have. Is there anything else either you wanted to talk about?
No.
I have chicken coming soon. That's going to be delicious. I don't know if that's news, but...
Well, that's news to me. That makes me hungry. I'm jealous.
I want chicken.
Come on over. I'll keep it on the keep it on a hot plate for you.
Wife's going to work. She has the car. I can't make it.
Ah, so you're only a quick, 2,500 miles away. I'm sure.
Yeah,
it's just easy jump.
Right there. Just hop, skip, and a jump away.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Well, on that note, I guess, Ryan, we'll let you get going. Thank you so much for joining us and hanging out with us and chatting news and chatting video games with us. You got to come back sometime. It was a blast.
Absolutely, man. Let me know. This was fun and relatively painless.
Relatively. That's a new one.
No, yeah, usually they so just say, really... Ow, stop. Stop. Why are you abusing us on the show?
It hurts so much. Please stop. Pimp yourself out one more time. Tell us where we could keep in touch with you, where we can follow you. Tell us about your podcast. Give us all the info.
Sure. I'll do the quick version here. So I'm on all the big social medias, the Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. It's at CrippleThreat8. If you want to see my calendar, if you want to see me actually do a live show, right now that's obviously a living, moving target because you just never know when things are going to be allowed or not allowed. But CrippleThreat.com, you can see where I'm going to be on the road. I have two podcasts. So the one we talked about, Baby Got Backlog, it's the video game podcast. Find that one there. I have another one that I do with a couple of comedian friends of mine, my buddy Johnny LaQuasto, who was most recently an announcer for WWE, and my buddy Brent Terhune, who a lot of people have probably, they don't know him as a comedian, but they've seen his redneck MAGA character. He has a lot of viral videos of him as a redneck MAGA supporter. They're very funny. We have a podcast called The Cafeteria, so you can find us at Cafeteria Pod and on all the various podcast streaming services. Give us a like and a listen.
Will do. All right. Thank you so much for being here. We'll let you get going. We have reviews that we have to take care of, so we will let you get on with the rest of your night. Thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
You have yourself a wonderful night.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. That was fun.
It was.
He's a good dude. Good dude.
Yes.
Very funny.
Good chat.
For once, our show was entertaining.
Yeah. The one time ever.
Ever. First game to talk about tonight is called Mafia Definitive Edition. A code for this game was provided by 2K for the purpose of this review. Developed by Hangar 13, published by 2K, released September 25th on Xbox One, PS4, and PC for $39.99. The Mafia Trilogy is available for $59.99. Remade from the ground up, rise through the ranks of the Mafia during Prohibition era of organized crime in America. After an inadvertent brush with the mob, cab driver Tommy Angelo is reluctantly thrust in the world of organized crime. Initially uneasy about falling in with the Solari family, the rewards become too big to ignore. Paul, tell us about Mafia Definitive Edition.
So, like with the other ones, I'm not going to bother focusing on the story because it's Mafia and you already are like halfway there just by knowing the name, right? Dude comes home. The other ones are the dude comes home and he gets into the Mafia. This one is a poor immigrant trying to work his way up, gets on the wrong side of the law. As they are wont to do. It's kind of a stereotypical tropey kind of game, but it works fine for the genre that it is. And that it's, the third person open world shoot shit and explore. Although it is an open world game, it is a lot more linear for the actual missions and stuff, and it really does kind of guide you, and there's not a whole lot of reason to like go out and look around as much as you would think there would be for an open world. Granted, I think that's kind of due to the fact that the condition of consoles at the time this game was originally launched. Even though this is a full-on remaster, though, they still kind of just stuck with that because that was the original game. You got to stay at least a little true to it.
Wait, remake or remaster?
Because
I thought this was a ground up remake.
It might be. I don't know. I always just say remaster because they did it all over again.
Remake is when they do it all over again. Remaster is when they take what was there and just pretty it up.
Joe, you know what you sound like? You sound like the dudes who are trying to tell the difference between roguelike and roguelite.
Well, there is a difference. Remakes are not remasters.
I know. Fine. It's a remake. Okay. They did a hold on. They made it all prettier. It does not have the overwhelming blue hue that the other two games did. Thank goodness. It looked a lot better. They did recast the main character's voice actor, and some of the other voice acting is quite oof. Like, the accents are very not good. The main character, I didn't play the original game, but the whole time, like, I felt a little off listening to him. I was like, there's just something about him I can't put my finger on where he doesn't feel right. But then you just kind of, like, accept it because that's what you're given, right? Okay. It doesn't sound bad. It just sounds like it doesn't fit. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. That's how I felt about it. Also, I'm totally not into these kind of crime games. And I played it and I was like, okay, it works for what it is. I think they did a solid job at remaking it. Like, it's a solid addition, you know, for new gen. Well, this gen, not new gen anymore, huh? For yeah. This gen generation. It's solid and it works. I, thank goodness, didn't have the problems with this remake that I had with the other two versions on the Xbox One S. I didn't have the constant crashes. David, when he played the ever-loving shit out of it, didn't have the constant crashes. If you remember from my previous reviews of 2 and 3, we were getting kicked out like every 15, 20 minutes. It was a pain in the ass, and I wanted to scream and break things, and it actually made me stop playing the game. Aki's fussing at me for taking a game that I wasn't particularly into, but I do have a husband who enjoys games as well.
Taking one for the team.
I did. Sometimes that's what I do. It's like why I take all the farming simulator games, even though I just would fall asleep while we're playing.
Well, you're stuck in every farming game ever.
Forever.
Yeah.
I fall asleep. David plays them until his fingers are bloody nubs. And that's how it's been with Mafia. He was far happier with Mafia 1 than he was 2 and 3. He said that it felt very, you know, period accurate and everything. He didn't feel as off about the voice acting as I did, oddly enough. Like, it just kind of worked for him, where I was like the whole time going, I don't know. It just doesn't seem right. He didn't care. And I think there are far more people out there like him than people like me. Because I can be a real stiff for like Foley sound, you know, Foley sounds and all of that stuff and the effects actually working together. Like, if something is a millisecond off, I'm going to notice it. Whereas he's just like, ah, that gun made a sound. He's happy. And I take that into consideration with this. I think they did a fine enough job. I'm just a bit of a perfectionist at times. You know, it ran smoothly. It looked great. I think it was a really solid remake of the game. Even if it's not something for me, I think fans of these types of games or fans of the series already are going to be really happy with where Mafia 1 is at.
Cool. So overall, $60, your verdict. Or $40 for the game, $60 for the trilogy. My bad. $40 for the game, $60 trilogy, verdict.
I think for the game, it's a buy it. The trilogy as a whole, I'm more inclined to go with a try it. I really would have liked to have seen them put more work into 2 and 3 to make them more stable and solid. And having those two stand against one and seeing how much more improved one is makes me wish 2 and 3 had been worked on a little more.
Yeah, the sad thing is 3 was apparently in pretty good shape, but whatever they did with their relaunch of it just kind of fucked it up somehow, and people are confused about it.
And it was such a shame because they did do a good job with 1. So then that makes you go, y'all could have done just a little more. I would have rather seen you delayed this until the next gen of consoles and then be like, we remade all 3 of them. And we would have been like, fuck yeah, that's great.
That probably would have been a lot more work.
I'm sure of it. But it would have probably paid off a little more in this instance, especially given the stability issues.
Yeah. All right, well, next game to talk about is called Troll Hunters Defenders of Arcadia, developed by WayForward, published by Outright Games, released September 25th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $39.99. Jump into the world of Troll Hunters as Jim Lake Jr. to stop Porygon, the trickster troll, and his sneaky plans, team up with Claire and Couch Co-op, and also get a helping hand from more loved characters to face unknown evil forces and help stop the Timepocalypse. Upgrade your armor and boost your abilities, become more powerful than ever. The fate of the universe is in your hands. All, how is Troll Hunters Defenders of Arcadia?
So the first thing that I want to point out about this game is if you have not watched the movies that this game ties into, or you haven't watched, I believe there's a Netflix show. Number two, fucking loves Troll Hunters. To the point that number three says, please don't make me watch Troll Hunters again. And if the 7-year-old is begging the 13-year-old to cut out the repetition, then that should tell you something about where their stance on this is. So I know that there's a whole full-on universe involved here. But my kids have a TV in their room for a reason, and it's because I can't tolerate that shit. Okay. Sorry, devs. I made up my mind I wasn't going to cuss, and then I just did it. But it's just not for me. And so my kids usually watch that stuff in their own room, and I don't have to deal with it. Well, if we watch movies together, we watch, like, The Crow. But Hamilton. We're on a Hamilton kick. Anyway, Troll Hunters. So, if you haven't watched any of those shows or the movies and you launch this game, you don't know a thing.
I can attest to that. I had no clue what the hell was going on.
You cussed that time, not me.
I said hell.
I'm telling.
Hell is in like G-rated movies.
That is true. But anyway, yeah, so you start off with a character who is half human, half trolls. You'll figure out the few times they actually do give you any kind of backstory. You'll find out that Jim is half human, half troll. However, there's a weird time warp thing going on. And because I'm not familiar with the universe, the whole plot line was just like all over the place for me. But there's a time map and you can travel back to places at certain times, which is wonderful because it's basically the excuse for chapter select. And that's a really good way to tie in some chapter select right there. But the Merlin and his time map are the big center plot point of the game and trying to stop, Porygon, I think his name was.
Yep, Porygon the trickster troll.
Porygon the trickster troll from you know, fucking with time. Oh, dang it.
Proud of you.
From messing with time. You're gonna have to edit that.
No, I'm not editing it. This is on you.
You have to stop him from messing with time. And so the whole point is just to go through these different levels as a 2D platformer with a little bit of beat 'em up action involved. There are some enemies you can usually just knock them around and they're done for. Couple hits. You do eventually unlock a glaive, which you can throw, which gives you a ranged weapon as well as opposed to your close up melee, which is nice. I found it to be a little unfair against the bosses because it'll just sit and keep whacking at them while they're there. And I was like, nah, 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 they can't reach me. I use that against quite a few of the enemies. I will say the game is meant for kids, and so it's not difficult at all. There was an achievement tied to beating it on hard. And normally I would be the first person here to be like, don't make achievements related to difficulty. Like, that makes me mad. And yet, especially in a kid's game, but with this one, there's literally so little difference between normal and hard that it didn't matter. If I had known it was going to be that easy on hard, I would have just played it on hard from the start. it's nothing. The kids were playing it on hard and they were like, this isn't hard. What is this?
I will say, I don't think the game is the prettiest looking thing, which is surprising since it's from WayForward.
Yeah, the visual style is it feels clunky. Again, this is just another one where just something about it doesn't sit right. Jim as a character kind of just looks like he's pasted into the world as opposed to actually being a part of it. There was one scene I noticed in particular where like it looked like he was floating above his shadow where he was just supposed to be standing there. And it was just such a small thing, but it just kind of compounded in a game where everything already looks, you know, like it's just kind of janky looking.
It has like a 90s CG feel to it.
Yeah, it's not the most ideal, especially given that the shows and stuff themselves are actually really pretty. And so I expected a little more from the game. When characters are speaking, there's kind of like the RPG style game or a visual novel where there's like a static image of them in the corner with a text box at the bottom for subtitles. So the art for that is really well done, but the CG just leaves a lot to be desired. There are a couple of levels in particular that I want to complain about later in the game where there is not enough visual offset between the enemies and the backgrounds. That's problematic, especially where number two is visually impaired. Not to like an extreme degree, but when she has something that doesn't have that contrast, she can't see. And there were a lot of times where she was just dying in the later levels and she was like, I don't even know what hit me. And it's because there's these little green or brown trolls. They're green in the earlier levels, and if they were green in the later levels, they would stand out just as well. But for whatever reason, in the later levels, they're brown and they just kind of blend in. And you cannot see them, and they drop off of the ceilings and they come running from behind you, and she's like, I don't know what's even hitting me. And so it took a couple of tries to, like, she would have to go through and a couple of times to learn the timing and just sit and kind of spam an attack until she hit something, and then she was able to go on. But even when I was playing it, I was like, yeah, I can't see those things, and I'm not that bad off. So there could definitely stand to be some kind of visual indicator that just makes those stand out a little more, or just makes them a different color. They're green everywhere else. They don't need to be brown here. that's really the janky visuals of it is kind of the only thing to fuss about. I do have one minor beef. There is one female character in the game. She's in the shows and stuff. She's one of the main characters. She's like part of the main cast. Her name is Claire. In the game, you don't play as her. You can't select her. She never joins your party as a playable character. Or as a supportive character, because you pick up different party members. There's four of them in all. You pick up different party members, and you can switch between them, and they each have an ability. So, like, Toby has a warhammer that he smashes blocks with. Angry Rot is a troll who brings up rocks for you to jump on because it's a platformer. And another one heals you, and another one, a set of alien, one's a girl, I think, an alien girl and an alien boy, have a hovercraft that you can float on. So the female character, who is one of the main casts in the show, she never joins your cast.
She's the co-op partner for two players.
Is she?
Yes, couch co-op. Oh,
because they didn't play at co-op, so I didn't know that.
If you listen to me when I say at the beginning, team up with Claire and couch co-op and get a helping hand from lots more loved characters.
Okay, then that's at least a little better, because when we played at single player, her only purpose is she stands in the marketplace and she sends you to look for a flower baby.
Oh, she's the co-op person.
That's problematic, but the girls didn't play it play it co-op. They were playing it individually, and I played it alone. So I didn't realize that she was a co-op. I feel better now.
For like shame.
It was a minor complaint. We didn't play it co-op. my kids playing a game together. That is a horrible idea. One plays on the Switch, one gets the Xbox. They swap after an hour.
Oh, Lord. Well, overall, $40 on Troll Hunters. What do you think of it?
I'm going to go more for the try it side. I think it's a recommended try it. If you've got a kid that's really into the series, they're going to enjoy it. And it's definitely suitable for kids. For adults who aren't into the series or don't like know what they're anything about the universe, it's a little harder of a sale. I could be like, well, hey, it's an easy completion and I did it. But I don't know that that $40 is an easy enough completion to justify the price.
No.
You know, maybe wait for a sale on it. But I think for kids, you know, if they're really into the series, then yeah, pick it up for them. They'll have a good time.
All right. Well, next game to talk about is called Little Big Workshop, developed by Mirage Game Studios, published by Handy Games, released September 24th on Xbox One and PS4 for $19.99. Coming soon to Switch. Manage your workers, stations, machines, and create awesome stuff as your Little Big Workshop grows into your dream factory. Cole, you said you were addicted to this one, huh?
Yeah. This is why all my other reviews tonight suck. It's because I just wanted to play Little Big Workshop. And the funny thing is even though I'm addicted to it, it's not the smoothest experience for a game. So let's back up first, though, before I get into all that. And start with what it is. This is a management resource sim. It's like Kingdom for Keflings, but instead of Keflings, you've just got these little chubby people in this little workshop that's on a blueprint on a desk. So, like, instead of being surrounded by flowers and trees, it's surrounded by, like, scissors and paintbrushes and pencils and office supplies, and it's really wonderful, and I love the whole scenery of it all. Fuck grass. We don't need grass. We got grid paper down. That's our grass. So you have your little factory and there's a little shipment bay that trucks can come into and they unload your stuff. You can hire more workers. You can can workers that suck. I've done that more than a few times. Somebody got a brain eating slug and I was just like, you're out of here. I don't have time for you.
Wow. Wrongful like, termination suit was, coming there.
Right. They were like, cure the brain slug. And I was like, nope, fired. Next.
You're a terrible boss.
You have to manage, you know, what kind of products you're going to build in your little factory. You've got to start off with good old-fashioned, you know, workshop desk and an assembly desk. And then as you get to upgrade, you can have like a bandsaw or a sewing machine. You can start to weld and work with metal, and eventually you're making some really cool stuff. I never make it far enough to get to make cool stuff because surprisingly, the game is really hard. And the amount of time it will give you to make any of the task requests, like it calls it a challenge, but it's just cruel. You don't have time. You have to create a blueprint for whatever you've been told to make. So let's say you're making a shelf, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to go, okay, for the top of the shelf, I'm going to use a piece of wood and we're going to run it through this wood bench, workbench. And then we're going to send it to this staging zone. And then we're going to run these pieces of wood through this workbench and then put it in another staging zone. And then we're going to bring them together at the assembly table to build the actual shelf. Then you have to, once your blueprint meets the needs of the employer request, whoever's asking for it, then you can put it into production. Everything comes in, gets unloaded, goes to its staging zone, and then it's made. But it takes a set amount of time for the workers to do these tasks. And they also have to stop and take breaks because they're humans, not gnomes. and they need a coffee break, or they might want to sit down and play a video game. So you better have some cool shit in your break room, or they just pass out on the floor and sleep for 3 days. That's not an exaggeration. Mr. Brain Slug dude wants to take a nap in the middle of the doorway. Well, I don't know why everybody's surprised to fire him. But yeah, it's a really tight race. You can overexert everything and like kind of turbo it, if you will, and still there's going to be a lot of times where even in the lower levels, like you're just two or three items short from actually getting the entire challenge done. There could stand to be just a little bit more balance where that, as far as that goes, in the beginning, like the first maybe two or three challenges, you're like, I did this with a whole day to spare. And then immediately by the fourth, you're like, I got 3 out of 14 done. And you're ready to cry. Because when that happens, the buyer will take whatever you have finished, but then you have to send the other stuff to the open market because you might as well finish it or scrap it and take a loss. And you can never afford to take a loss, but you might also finish it and the market may have changed and there might not be anybody buying that. It might not even be available on the market. So then you've got to sit with it and your factory is so small that you're just kind of stuck. So then you go and spend what little money you got on an upgrade to make your factory bigger. And then before you know it, you're $5,000 in the hole. There's no loan mechanic and you're bankrupt and you got to start all over. Which has been my situation a few times. I would love to see some kind of loan mechanic because I am one of those terrible players who plays these kind of management games and like runs the business into the fucking ground. And because I'll upgrade everything as soon as I've got the money for it. And I don't like wait it out in case there's a mistake. And then I'm just like, well, now that I've got all the upgrades, I just turn shit out really fast. And then I start making profits and it's fine. And because there's no loan mechanic, I can't do that. And it's been like a whole retrain my brain to play this kind of game differently. And it's really, really difficult. Bug-wise, I have run into a few different issues. Sometimes things get stuck in the production train and there is just no way to know what it is. I've used all the tricks. Sometimes you can kick it back into gear if you move it to a different workbench, for example, or just fire whoever's not doing what they're supposed to do. And you might be able to kick it back into gear. But there are times too where no matter what you do, your workers just kind of stand around sipping coffee and you're like, hey, we got like 2 hours left. You need to be making some fucking shelves. And no matter what options you roll through, they won't actually carry out any tasks. So your whole option is close down the game, relaunch it and load it back up an old save and try to go back into it. And hope that it works the next time, which it usually does. And it's not something that's happened an overwhelming number of times, but it's happened enough that it's frustrating.
No.
And it's just kind of like there's lenses you can use to like make sure that your zones are laid out well and that there's no obstructions. Because these dumbasses will fall and drop and break things just like me. And so you have to like, you know, really be careful with how you lay everything out. And even if you check all of that and you're like, okay, everything's good, but they just don't leave the break room. So that's definitely one of the issues with it. There have been a couple of other small bugs pop up, not anything quite as overwhelming that makes you like full on crash the game, but you may lose out on, you know, a full completion of something where you might have otherwise had it. It would be nice if there were like some more audio cues to, especially when your factory gets a little larger, there's not enough to indicate where things are having issues. So it will, if you need to repair a bench or whatever, like it'll look like it has sparks of lightning all around it because it's electrical shit. And that
you
want to
know what other shit is electrical?
That's such a bad segue. And I was waiting you to do something, but the fact I didn't that know.
Vertically yeah. Impaired just subbed for his 31st month. I didn't even know I was around that long. Oh my God, we're coming up on 36 soon. Coming up on 3 years.
Oof.
Fernelle, are you excited about that?
Fucking yeah!
I know you are.
Fucking yeah.
Anyway, so Little Big Workshop, $20 on this one. What are you thinking of it?
I think for $20, because of the bugs, I'm inclined to go for a recommended try it in general. But if you're like me and you really like these kind of games like Two Point Hospital and Kingdom of Keflings and things like that, it's a buy it. Like, you'll put up with the bugs because it's fun enough. And I'm not going to lie about that. Also, I saw cat butt.
There's a lot of cat butt on screen right now. And also on screen, No Time for Games dropping 450 biddies. George, what do you think of that?
Dropping bits!
Yeah, how about some wet pancakes?
Wet pancakes!
That's right. God, pork is all over my stuff here. I hope he doesn't walk in front of me, because the next game to talk about is called Jet Set Knights, developed by FobT Interactive, published by Rattlelake Games, released September 22nd on PS4, 23rd on Xbox One, 25th on the Switch for $9.99. The king has gone away for a while, making the kingdom ripe for attack by the forces from the dark underworld. Princess Kitty and her subjects are now in danger. Can you save the day? Serlina wrote in a review of this one, and this is what she's got to say. Good evening, SML friends and fam. It's Serlina, and this week I'm reviewing Jet Set Knights for the PS4. Developed by FobT Interactive and published by Rattlelake Games, Jet Set Knights is an action-adventure, platforming, top-down, 2D, genre-merging extravaganza where you play as one of four gallant knights, and you must use all of your wits and hops to save the princess, or maybe watch her save you. Let's get on to the review. Jet Set Knights really isn't what you think it is. When I first saw the trailer, I thought it was along the lines of the original Donkey Kong, where you have to jump over rolling barrels, climb ladders, and occasionally grab a hammer to save your princess. I was completely wrong. This game takes everything from your beloved arcade games of old, puts them in a blender, then hands it to you with a grin while saying, "Trust me, you'll like this." And you will, but not at first.
Mm-hmm.
Jet Set Knights doesn't tell you how to play the game, like most of the arcade games I grew up on. No plots, no tutorials. It lets you know how to use your character in the beginning and thrusts you into the world map, where you'll find you're locked out of everything except the graveyard. Once there, you see a princess in the middle, four portals at the top of the screen, your character, and you play. You will die, of course. The first 20 minutes of the game are highly infuriating until you begin to understand what you're doing. What you have to do is prevent the monsters from up top from touching your princess by any means necessary. One touch and it's game over. Also, if the monsters touch you, you lose a life. You only have three of those starting out, and once they're gone, it's game over. Luckily, the game gives you plenty of drops, either in the form of treasure chests or just out in the open. Naturally, the game doesn't tell you what the items do. You have to figure it out as you go. You also have access to your own sword and special ability, which is different for each character. Personally, I never use the specials because they take 2 seconds to charge, which is way too long. These monsters are relentless. Once you finish wave 6 and defeat the boss, which is some sort of sea creature, you unlock the next world, rinse and repeat. I know it doesn't sound like fun, but it's incredibly fun. The game does really take the best of all these genres to create an awesome experience. You get the hops and the bops from the platformers, which you use to get around the area and also dispatch enemies, but they can bop you too, so be aware of that. You got your RPG elements in the fact that you can level up your character, increase their stats, and even get a quest from the princess. You've got tower defense, where you can construct barriers around the princess or magical orbs for defense. The game also keeps score, so if you want to be the best you can be, go for it. It also adds elements that I love, like one of the items you can find is a mask, and when you get it, the princess transforms into a floating cat superhero. That's probably the best way I could describe it. It shoots pink fireballs of doom at anything that even thinks about getting near her. How excellent is that?
It's pretty excellent.
Graphically, they were definitely going for the 80s arcade here, and there's even an option in the settings where you can make it look like the screen line's on, and it literally makes the game look like you're watching on an old CRT screen, fisheye and all, which I never fuck with those settings. Like, leave them off. I appreciate that you put them there, but I don't know how you feel about them.
I've missed what you even said. I was looking in chat.
Damn you. The CRT effect.
Oh, I always turn that shit off. I don't even deal with it. Those don't exist in any game as far as I'm concerned. No, thank you.
Anyway, the character models look good for enemies and knights. I don't mind that they're all wearing helmets. The AI isn't very smart. At one point, I had a weapon that allowed me to dispatch them all by standing in a corner and letting them come to me. The game compensates for this by sending quite a few baddies out all the time while limiting the usage of your items, which is quite smart. You can't cheese your way through this one. Sorry. Jet Set Knights is available right now on PS4 and a couple other platforms for $9.99, and should you buy it? Yes, you should definitely buy it. Those first 20 minutes are awful, but once you get past that learning curve, you find a really fun game that surprisingly sucks you in. All the elements work so well together that you'll wonder why it took so long for a game like this to come out in the first place. What did you think, Cole?
I actually really enjoyed it. Just like Sterlina, the first like 10, 15 minutes of the game, I was sitting there going, I hate this. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. What the fuck am I doing with myself? Why do I keep trying? But it's accessible enough that you can keep trying. And for some reason, like, I guess my roguelike, now I'm all self-conscious of roguelike versus roguelite because I said it earlier and Root Beer was griefing me. but
roguelike has elements of a roguelike. The roguelite has the elements. Roguelike is the genre.
Okay.
Anyway,
my penchant for roguelikes like kicked in, and I was just like, one more try. Every time I failed until I finally got it. And so then at that point, I was like, okay, well, here I am. I'm going to just like blow through everything and get the completion. It took me like maybe a couple hours. It's not easy even once you learn it. I didn't find that I was as able to like sit in a corner and spam it the way that Sterlina did. I will say there is one weapon that lets you just like run around and one-shot everything, and it's glorious.
Yeah.
And that just, there were a lot of things I wouldn't have beat initially if I hadn't have been for unlocking that bad boy. But I think for what it is, it's solid. It's a nice little throwback. CRT can fuck off. I don't know why they even bother coding that shit in. Use your resources for better things. But for what it is, it's something you can just kind of sit down and mindlessly play and get through and get you some achievements.
Cool. All right. Next game to talk about is called Bartlow's Dread Machine, developed by Tribe Toy and Beep Games, published by Beep Games. Released September 29th on Xbox One and PC for $14.99. An artifact from the past returns in Bartlow's Dread Machine, a long-forgotten game from the dawn of the Electric Age. Dread Machine is a dual-stick arcade shooter with single-player and couch co-op modes, six scintillating game worlds, and a cast of improbable monsters and historical characters. Cole, tell us about Bartlow's Dread Machine.
So, man, I'm going to do a horrible job at explaining this game, and that breaks my heart because it's so good. So let's just go ahead and get that out of the way. This game is incredibly good. Everything about it looks wonderful. It plays really well. I'm just about to butcher it, though, as I try to describe it. So if you've ever seen way old, somebody's going to make a joke about how I probably had one of these as a kid. But but there's these way old machines they used to use, kind of like, it was kind of how they used to do electrical puppetry, if you will. And they were, if I'm not mistaken, they were straight up called magic boxes or something like that. But they had like these little puppets on sticks, and they had little tracks, and you could wind them up and they would move around the tracks, and they were super cool little toys. But they were expensive to make, so they weren't like a toy that you could just have in your house for a long time. There were people who traveled around with them, and they told stories through them and all that. So the whole game plays out like it's in one of those boxes. So your character, who you actually get some control over, you can choose a male, you can choose a female. There's a couple different options for looks. They are all light skinned, but you know, you can't win them all, I guess. There are eight different options to start with. I'm not sure of all the ones you unlock or if there are additionals to unlock, because the game plays, even though it's literally on rails. The game plays like a twin stick shooter with some puzzle elements. So you control your character some shit has hit the fan. You're an FBI agent under Theodore Roosevelt, and one of your fellow agents is brutally murdered, and as you're trying to solve this puzzle, I'm trying not to spoil anything either, as you're trying to get back to Theodore Roosevelt and tell him what has happened so that he can, you know, make an order to lock shit down. Everything is going crazy. There are like these zombie-like characters coming at you. Why are you shaking your head?
Hockey.
Oh, okay. So then, like, there are some zombie-like characters who will just come after you. Sometimes there are machine guns that will pop out of little eggs. Everything is on the rails, even the enemies. So they're forced to move around the scene on the same track you are. This means you can actually get swarmed and get stuck pretty easily. Thankfully, there are, I think, 5 different difficulties. And it doesn't punish you for choosing very easy. So
that's good.
I would recommend choosing very easy. Because once you're swarmed, it pops off pretty quickly. Especially in the beginning when you only have like an old pistol. You have to watch your ammo management. If you're on easy, there will be health elixirs and checkpoints and ammunition pretty liberally littered around. You're going to run into them in almost every scene. You might have one or two where it gets a little perilous. When you kill an enemy, they drop down into the rail, down in the floor, and they will drop a little money bag. This is my biggest gripe with the game. The money bags go away, and you're already really, really tight for cash, because this is meant to be the really old days where it, like, if you had $10 you were rich. And yet one of the gun upgrades, they literally go from a shotgun that costs $10 to a rifle that costs $86.
Jeez.
The jump in pricing is unnecessary. I would have liked to have seen that, at least for easier difficulties, be a little better balanced out. And because the money, like, I absolutely a million times over, if I could have got all the cash bags that dropped that for the enemies I killed, could have bought every upgrade there was. But because they poof, you're constantly just like, which track do I get on to get as much money as possible before it's gone? Which is unfortunate. But other than that, like, even though the story, from what I've said of it, sounds bland, let me tell you that it gets fucking crazy. And the very first, I'm going to go ahead and say the first boss. So if you don't want to hear, shut me down now. Come back in 2 minutes. But the very first boss is a fucking steampunky, if I'm not mistaken, it was like Theodore Roosevelt turned into like this big steampunky octopus, and like rose up out of the ground, and the tentacles are coming up through the tiles at you, and they're trying to squish you. And then there's also the attacks from, and you're on this rail at the front of the screen, and you're just this little paper doll with your little gun just popping at it. It's surprisingly difficult even on easier difficulties. So take that into consideration. Like, if you're bad at twin sticks, this isn't going to help you. This is not going to improve things. In addition to the twin stick element, there is also puzzles to solve. So, like, the puzzles can be really, really difficult. In one, you have, like, this giant centipede, mechanical centipede like creature that is just like zooming back and forth from left to right, right? But it's on the rails just like you are. So whatever track it's coming down shakes, and you need to make sure you're not on that track. But you're also trying to solve the puzzle at the same time where you're moving the tracks around so that you can divert a minecart full of dynamite into that, into its path. It's super creative. Any more than that, and I'm going to just like ruin the game for somebody. But But it's super creative the way they've built this world, and they've put it in this box, and they've had to make it work within these really strict rules, and yet they've been incredibly creative about it. I love everything about what they've done with this game. And I worry that it's going to look kind of niche-y when it's actually really accessible and friendly to everybody.
Hmm. Well, then overall, $15, what do you say?
I'm going to roll with a buy it. I think it's really good. I hope more people pick it up. I hope it really finds its footing, because I would love to see more games play with the rules like this one does.
Nice.
Yeah.
Next game to talk about is called The Girl of Glass, A Summer Bird's Tale, developed by Marcus with Friends, published by Dunderling Production. God.
Well done. That sounded wonderful.
I know it did. Released September 22nd on Steam for $17.99. Join Crystal as she sets out on her journey to better understand herself and the world around her in a point-and-click adventure game featuring turn-based combat and hand-painted environments. Aki's covering this one. Aki, how are you doing?
I have a lot of heartburn, but other than that, I'm pretty good. Nice. I won't be after I'm done with this, but I'm good right now anyways.
That sounds ominous.
Do you just need to anxiety puke?
I always need to anxiety puke. I can't leave my house very often because the thought of exiting my house gives me panic attacks.
Aki has agoraphobia.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why everyone notices all I do is play video games. Yeah, that's why. Because I can stay inside my house.
Well, tell us about The Girl of Glass.
Okay. This game is you play as Crystal, and she's blue because she's made of glass, in case you didn't figure that out from the title.
Okay.
She's part of a circus. She works there for a room and board. She was picked up by the headmaster, who is known as Headmaster, because Crystal is kind of a shit, and I guess she didn't bother to learn anyone's fucking names over the... She's like 16 when you start the game, but when she was picked up, she was like somewhere in between like 8 and 12. And all that time, she didn't bother to remember the names of like the 4 or 5 people that make up the fucking circus. There's the sad clown, the strong girl, the tall lady, the bear woman, and the headmaster. She's not bothered to remember any of these motherfuckers' names. When the tall lady and the headmaster have basically raised this girl, she still doesn't know who the fuck they are. Like, for fuck's sake. She's a bit of a derp. And it's not just that. She can't read. She can't write. She doesn't know any of that. She hasn't had, apparently, any schooling, I guess. She was raised in an orphanage that she ran away from and then collapsed on the side of the road. That's where the headmaster found her. So I guess they didn't teach her in the orphanage. And she is living in effectively slightly fantasy Nazi America.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's hell. At first it's like, oh, she, oh man, how do I even explain this? The game is set in present and past. In the present, she is just battle sequences, only really battle sequences. And then the past tells what happened to get her to that point. So you see a tiny chunk of the past, and then there's a battle sequence that deals with the individuals from that chunk, and then it moves to the next chunk of the story, and then back in the current time where they've left the first battle to go straight to the next battle. I'll explain that a little bit more right now. At first, you just want out of the circus because it's fucking boring there. They don't move. They're a stationary circus, which is why they only have 5 people, because everyone else fucking quit because they were bored of going nowhere. The circus doesn't do very well because, again, when you're there every fucking day, all the people in town have probably seen you a few times a year. They don't need to go there every goddamn day. So the circus isn't doing so good, and Crystal just fucking hates it there because, I mean, That has to be miserable, says the person who stays in their house all the time. But like, she and the tall lady don't get along. The tall lady's a bitch to everybody but her too. The ringmaster is trying to be friends with everyone, and he's the boss. And everything that I've heard about bosses is fuck you or you want to fuck them. It's one or the other. So not really a friendship thing. The sad clown is always pretending to be happy, but he's fucking miserable. She obviously clearly has a crush on the strong girl, but she's very intimidated by her because, again, she's made of glass. She's weak, fragile, all that fun stuff. It's great fun. And then she meets this boy outside who's just right outside the fence of the circus. And he's like, hey, you're cool. I like you. Let's run away together. And because the game wouldn't be able to progress the plot further than that, you say, all right, stranger, I'm going to run away with you. She's literally known the boy less than 24 full hours, and she runs away with him after stealing the ringmaster's car keys.
Oh, God.
So they could steal the car to get out of there. But in this world, as I stated, it's Nazi America. So there are some problems. You see, there's a giant businessman who is very reminiscent of Donald Trump visually, except for he's not quite as orange.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, who wants the land that the circus is on. So he's working with the local sheriff to get the people removed forcibly. And the sheriff's just, he's like, well, we want to get rid of you people. You're different. So one, the country doesn't like them automatically just because they're fucking different. That is a death sentence fairly often in this game. So he's just finding any reason to arrest them. And every arrest seems to coincide with an execution, in the game. So yay. Turns out that Otto is a deserter from the war that's being fought for no reason. And you learn that, and then you proceed to tell it to the strange boy that you don't fucking know. You find out the strong girl is gay, and you tell the boy, even though he's a stranger, immediately after you learn it. You find out the tall girl is pretending to be someone she's not, which you tell the boy, who you don't know. And then, suddenly, the next fucking day, the sheriff is there being like, you're aiding and abetting these fucking people. And it turns out that the bear lady murdered somebody. She's actually a criminal. And he's like, okay, well, all those are reasons for people to be arrested and executed. All of them. Every fucking one of them. Some other ones that seem to get you arrested and executed. In one of the news articles you hear or read, I can't remember, in the game, a girl was set on fire because she believed on a different religion. And the judges said that the guys who set her on fire were fine and dandy because they were obviously just looking out for this country and its one true religion. Turns out that was also Strong Girl's girlfriend, because of course it is. And I don't remember seeing anyone of any color that wasn't white in the entire game. So, you know, just throwing that out there, I don't remember anyone that was dark-skinned. So I wouldn't have been shocked if they started going Sieg Heil constantly.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it was not fun.
There went our monetization.
Oh, yeah. You're welcome. This video, not getting monetized.
Not
Sorry.
Me saying fuck in the first 5 seconds.
Oh, no. This would definitely do it. Yeah. So after that, you try to shoot the sheriff with an unloaded gun. Or maybe its safety is off. You don't know what the fuck you're doing with a gun. And the boy escapes with you in the stolen car while everyone else is arrested. And then the next scene starts, and it's you on a train on your own and the train getting stopped and the sheriff beating the shit out of you with his bare hands, basically, after tearing you off the train. He just beats you. And you break, and suddenly you're a normal girl who also has big crystal wings and looks very, very scary. And then he runs off like a little bitch. I mean, hey, why not? Just beat a little girl half senseless, so let's run away when she gets up and looks angry. So this section is about beating up everyone at the prison to get rid of the sheriff, basically, because he's the Gestapo. And then it goes to the next part of the past, which is starts immediately after you've gotten away in the stolen car. You run out of gas. You spend a night in a fucking field sleeping with the boy. Not that way. And then you steal food from an orphanage because the boy is a very good influence on you, obviously. Turns out this was an orphanage the character ran away from. And it's because she was treated like shit. Someone was supposed to adopt her, finally. And then they disappeared and ghosted them and never came back. So the girl ran away because she felt like shit. But it turns out that the businessman who wanted the land the circus was on, he had bought the orphanage because the lady who ran it had to sell it in order to afford food for the kids. And he's turned it into a child labor building, more or less. Well, and the old lady, too. They have to make shoes for him. They don't get any money for it. They just have to do it because it's slave labor. Then he turns around and sells it. So then the next part, the boy steals two pairs of that, of shoes, and that gets the orphanage shut down because the businessman gets pissed off. But he's not going to leave the kids there. He's shutting that down. He's taking them and putting them in labor camps.
I feel like you're just telling us the whole story.
Partially. Because these are some serious fucking issues. And fucking, so you have to go deal with him. And it turns out he's selling children to the Catholic Pope, basically. Their version of it. So they can massage his feet and I'll quote this, other things. Yeah. And yeah, no, not good, no. And he agrees to it, too, because he's a piece of shit. And then you have to deal with him. And then you have some other stuff that I'm not going to ruin because that it's all bad. But
it sounds like a very unpleasant game.
Yeah. It's story.
Sounds heavy.
It deals with some bad stuff. And, you know, the combat's great. The art is beautiful. The story is good for the most part, but it twists up your emotions real hard. It puts a knot in your stomach, a knot in your heart. It doesn't release those. There's no point in the game where you are actually going through things, fixing anything. There's nothing that untwists any of it. So at the end of the game, it's just like, and everyone snapped their fingers and things were better. And it's just like, that's great and all, but that doesn't unfuck everything that you just did to me. Everything's still really twisted. Even now, I finished this yesterday, midday, and I'm, in case anyone hasn't figured out, I'm trying not to cry. It doesn't untwist things. And that's its one real glaring problem is that, cause you still feel bad after playing it. You don't get the chance to feel good about yourself anymore. Cause yeah, you stop these guys, but it's one fight and now they're gone. And that's it. It's not like, you've saved the kids. Now you're getting them somewhere safe. It's just, you killed this guy. The end. It's like,
that kind of ruins the end.
Yeah. Like it just,
no, I mean, like you just kind of gave away the ending.
Well, I told you deal with all those people. there's more that you have to deal with too. So much you have to fucking deal with. That's just like three chunks that you have to deal with, and they're all assholes.
Well, spoiler alert, I guess.
Yeah. It's really hard not to tell you this stuff when these are the issues it deals with, and you kind of need to talk about them. No. So people know what the fuck they're getting into. I mean, but the game's combat is really good. Each character gets turned into a monster version of themselves for reasons I'm not going to explain. And some of them, their bodies change, like the strong girl turns into a rock creature. You are turned from a glass girl into a crystal girl, I guess. I don't really know. You know, and then the tall lady turns into a serpent thing. Just weird shit happens. So each one of them is weak to different types of attacks and elemental attacks, both. It mostly is elemental stuff, and so are enemies. So you can move your characters around on the field to hit certain enemies to do extra damage to them. And after you do enough to their focus bar, which if you hit them with something they're weak against, they lose a focus. They start with 5. If you get them down to 0, they're stunned for a round. And you can get critical hits regardless of what type of hit you hit them with, which is pretty fun. I did enjoy the combat. It can be through a few different difficulties. You get stars depending on how much health you end each fight with. It gives you 1 to 3 stars, and each difficulty says you can't get less than this many stars. So like the hardest difficulty, you have to beat all of them with 3 stars, or else it restarts that fight over again. And you have to redo it from the very beginning until you survive with at least 3 stars left. I think medium was with 2 stars, and on the easiest difficulty, it doesn't matter, I don't think. I played it on the hardest difficulty because I was like, this isn't too difficult, especially on the PC where I can cheat. I don't give a shit. It's a single player game.
Well, $18 on this one. We need a verdict.
It's a tentative try it. If you can deal with those feelings, then go for it. Because I think it is a good game. It's just
really, very dark really and heavy.
Yeah, it's very heavy. And yeah.
All right, well, we're going to let you go. We're going to drag Jacob in here. So do you have any final words before we let you go?
No, not really. Not this time.
Keeping your coughing in.
Yep.
Anyway, next up, we are bringing in Jacob Garner. Jacob, how are you doing?
I have to talk to Cole, so not that well. Especially with the sights I have just seen. I'd like some bleach, please.
I love that you reference stuff nobody's going to understand or get.
It's okay. A month from now, we're not going to know what we were talking about, you know, provided we actually go back and listen to old episodes.
Hey, I might re-listen to this one. That was a really fun interview to start the show.
Okay. All right. So you're going to listen to the interview.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm not going to listen to you.
Right. Exactly. No.
Anybody with a brain in their head should not.
Yeah. All right. So next game to talk about is called Feather, developed and published by Samurai Punk. It released September 30th on Xbox One and PS4 for $9.99. Feather is a multiplayer game about exploration, relaxation, and immersion. Transform yourself into a bird, take flight, and enjoy a zen-like picturesque landscape on your own terms. Swoop, glide, and backflip your way around mysterious locations to uncover hidden paths that only a bird can follow. Jacob, tell us about Feather.
I don't know how true that is, that only a bird could follow. I mean, like, if you have any, like, you know, background in spelunking and stuff like that, I'm pretty sure a human could follow, like, where this bird went.
Maybe.
I'm just saying. That description does not seem right.
Well, then tell us about the game.
Are you sure you played the right game?
I will write a very strong. Oh, got it.
Listen, Cole, I wasn't going to address the reason why we're doing one of your reviews last. But if you want to go there, we could talk about that after this review.
I'm just checking with Jacob that he's on par.
I'm reviewing Yakuza 2, right?
Yes, tell us about the hostess club named Feather.
Well, I've got all my ladies lined up, you know. All right, so Feather. So pretty much it's an exploration game that you're playing as a bird. The tutorial is very simple. Like, it, you know, it gives you, like, this is how you do this. You can call to other birds, which there are no other birds. I suppose it's left for multiplayer. I never got around to playing any multiplayer with anybody, but pretty much it's, yeah, I mean, it's as the description says, it's a very relaxing experience. Like, there's no dying. Like, if you run into, like, a tree or a rock or something like that, the game just rewinds time long, like, far back enough that you can reset your flight course and, you know, avoid it. Now, sometimes it always doesn't work perfectly, but the game, like, interestingly enough, does realize this. It's just like, because there was one time I was perched up on a rock and I kept, like, there was no way for me to get a good enough turning radius. And so the game kept rewinding it farther back until I was able to actually escape that. But anyway, but yeah, like, there's no enemies. Like, there's no actual death. It's really just you exploring of one big island, and there's these, like, little tiny islands, and the islands are all dotted with like, it's an abandoned island, whether, you know, it's some previous civilization that's, like, long dead, or if it's, like, you know, industrialization that happened, like, 50 years ago and everybody just suddenly up and left. Like, the game doesn't make it clear. In fact, as you start going through these portals that are scattered throughout the island, the game actually raises more questions about the island itself than answers them, because it literally answers none of it.
That's always helpful when a game just gives you no information.
Well, you're a bird. What the fuck are you going to do? I mean, it's not like you're a human where you're, like, contemplating, like, your existence and what is, you know, was this left as, like, a memorial to civilization? Was this, like, you're a fucking bird, you know? You know, you're looking for a good place to land, you know, and try not to die as you slam into a rock the umpteenth time. And so, yeah, it's just you wandering around the island. It doesn't take that long to figure out, like, you know, to go around the main island and stuff like that. But then eventually you're going to be like, huh, well, what happens if I follow this water path? And then you realize, oh, well, this river actually dumps into a cave. Let's see what's down in the cave, you know, and you're going to find a small network that's underneath the island. And I don't really want to spoil anything. I mean, it's not much of a spoiler, but it, like, you know, the portals will sometimes direct you to other areas. Sometimes it's a different island that's, like, nearby. Other times it just blasts you up into the sky, really far up, which is actually kind of fun, because then you can fly through clouds and then you can dive bomb, you know, down towards the island and pull up at the last second. But it's a weird game because it almost becomes one of those, like, it wasn't called The Path. It was, crud. Do you remember that game a few years back where it was like, it was just this old woman wandering, like she was walking from the entrance of a graveyard to a bench in the graveyard? Do you remember what it was called?
No. Cole, any thoughts?
No idea.
Okay.
I'm super helpful. Yay!
Yay!
You're never helpful, Cole.
Okay, well, good fun.
I actually just tossed up. It was actually called The Graveyard.
Oh.
You know, fancy helpful. That. Yeah. So anyways, like, the big thing is that years ago, you know, it created this conversation of what makes a video game. And it's just like, well, all you're doing is making this old lady sit on a bench. You listen to a thing and then, you know, then she wanders out of the graveyard. Like, that's not a game. And it's just like, why not? It has objectives. You are controlling the character. You are doing this. There are actions to be performed. All this kind of stuff. Feather kind of feels like that because it's really that short of a game all in all. I actually thousanded it just this evening, like about an hour before the review.
Wow. Now,
I mean, of course, I had played it before, but I actually thousanded it, which is really rare for me to do for a game that I'm reviewing. I think I've only done it one other time.
You need to play more Rattalaikas.
No, yeah, they're mine.
yeah, I know. Well, especially with that Xbox,
the Hall of Fame thing going on.
Yeah, the Hall of Fame thing. Yeah, I'm already at like 465 points out of 10,000. I'm really gunning to at least get 2,000 out of this thing. But it kind of feels like that, where it's just like it doesn't feel like a tech demo, but it feels more like a proof of concept than an actual game. But then at the same time, you know, it's just the point of the game is that you just fly around and you explore stuff. So
it's not so much a game. It's more just a relaxation experience.
Yeah. Experience is actually a better term than I would use. Yeah. And so with that, it's one of those, like, understand there is not a lot to it, but it's pretty relaxing. It plays fine.
Pretty looking game.
Yeah, it's pretty looking. The music I was a little iffy on, but the thing is, there are these like little portals all scattered throughout the islands that if you fly through them, it allows you to change the music that you're listening to. There's like 9 or 10 tracks, different tracks for it. But yeah, it's just understand that it's just like, it's a quick exploration game. And this is not like, it's not going to be on the level of like Skyrim. You know, it's just you as a bird flying around an island and exploring stuff. So,
well, yeah. For $10, what do you think?
Honestly, I'd be game for that. I mean, I know I'm notoriously cheap, and mm-hmm. the length is a little bit of an issue for me. But honestly, for $10, I would have been pleased with it. You know, I had a fun time. I don't really have any negatives other than, as I said, the length of the quote unquote game. But then, yeah. And it's just, I don't really know what you're supposed to do with multiplayer. I never got a chance to play it.
Just explore. There's no real point to it. I unfortunately wasn't able to get an online game going either. I wasn't able to find anybody. Hopefully this game builds an audience. Obviously we're playing it before it came out. So.
Yeah, which is always tough for us because, you know, how are we going to judge online when there's nobody there? But yeah, I had fun with it. I'd recommend it. I mean, it's not like, I don't think it's a game of the year contender, but I'd recommend it.
Cool. All right. Well, we got one more game to talk about, and Jacob, you're going to stick around because I'm going to make you. But the last game to talk about tonight is called Commander 85, developed by the Moonwalls, published by Ultimate Games, released September 30th on Xbox One and Steam for $14.99. 13 May 1985, today is my birthday. Mom gave me the best present ever, a Commander 85, a super modern computer with real artificial intelligence. It's very smart and I can talk to it and play games on it. I can't wait till the other kids see it. Cole, tell us about Commander 85.
Okay, so before I start talking about this, I would like to preface that I was born in the early 80s. I remember playing games, text-based games, on like a word processor with the green screen and everything. And you had to like, it would come up and say, you are in a field with a mailbox, and you would have to type open the mailbox. And that was how you played the game. There were no graphics.
You old hag.
Kick him off the call. So that's how, you know, I got started with gaming. So when you offered me Commander 85, I was like, this is so much like my childhood. Just right there. And I had some pretty high hopes. And when I launched the game, it started off really strong. There was a really nice CGI cutscene. Everything looked like it could have been a scene out of Stranger Things. Like there was synthwave music. It was very 80s. It was very nostalgic. And that's not something I typically experience with games. Like, we've said it a million times on here, but like, I had like a huge gap where I thought I wasn't supposed to play games. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't. And so I lack a lot of the nostalgia that other people in my age group have, but I felt some nostalgia when I was playing Commander 85, or at least when I started it. You play as a kid who's gotten this computer system, which back in those days, that was a big deal. It was like $1,000 setup just to even get to push the power on button. This kid's actually got a modem and everything. He's gotten this setup, but his mom is immediately pissed at him because she discovers that he's not been going to school. He's been playing hooky and staying home playing on the computer. So your very first mission with this computer is to sit down and hack into the school and change your absences to show that you've been to every class.
Well, it's Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Initially. So while you're going through this, this kind of serves as like your tutorial for how to use the computer. You'll have to look around your desk. You'll have to find your ID card to get the number to the school, because you literally take the phone off the hook and sit it down in the modem and then use your ID to call the school with the computer through the modem. This is technology that was like, I missed out on this shit. I think I was just a smidge too young to actually experience some of this. But at the same time, there's enough of it that still feels comfortable that I was like, oh yeah, I know what I'm supposed to be doing. And it was reasonable in that regard. It was like, you know, you press the power on button. The first thing, though, that I want to point out is that before you actually touch the computer, you have to go to it and sit down and press the power button. Except you don't have any control over the character. You can't move around the room at will. The game will actually take the character, sit them down, and then at that point you can, you know, power on, interact with the Commander 85. You can interact with things around the desk. You can look at something that's across the room and click, you know, use it or whatever the option it gives you for it is. And the game will get the character up, take them over to, like, say you want to open the window. Take them to the window, open the window, and then you just stand there. If you press any direction with a D-pad or the analog stick or anything, nothing's happening. The only thing you can control is the camera with the right thumbstick. It's really disjointing. And that's not the only time that the key bindings and the lack of control become a problem with Commander 85. So once you're actually sitting at the computer, you're logging in, you're doing your hacky hacky things, you get a virus. By the way, the computer speaks to you. I meant to mention this earlier and I got off on another tangent. The computer speaks to you while it's turned off. Like, I was standing in the room against the bookcase because there are collectible figurines you get and they're displayed in the bookcase. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to go look and see what the figurines I need are, because those are tied to the achievements. And that's what I care about right now. So I was looking there and then like the computer starts to speak and it's like, you have to come over here and turn me on and we can figure this out. We can fix it. And I'm like,
weird. I say that during my marriage counselor sessions.
Womp womp.
Come on, that was good. Whatever.
Anyway.
Okay.
Out of curiosity, like with this game, is it really like a text-based adventure, or like, you know, when you're playing it, does the game actually make sound when the computer's talking? Like, is it like an actual voice?
You actually hear a voice, and it is, I think I've mentioned it before. My brother-in-law is blind and he has a program that he uses that reads to him. Now, of course, everybody's heard like the Windows narrator voice, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there is a very specific voice in this program. This program is called Jaws. And I have heard it for 20 plus years while my sister has been married to this dude. And I would recognize that Jaws voice anywhere. And I shit you not, that commander voice is the Jaws voice. It was so weird because that program is super specific because it was the one he was taught to use when he went to a school for the blind. And, like, it's not a lot of people just commonly use Windows Narrator or whatever. So Jaws is kind of, like, outdated. So when I heard that voice, I was like, the fuck? but it was super cool to hear it. Best I could assume is they probably used a program, used Jaws and typed into the program and had it read it back, because that's what Jaws can do. And that's what they used for the computer voice. If I had to guess, they're free to tell me if I'm wrong, but that's definitely what it sounded like to me. So anyway, yeah, the computer has a voice. Everything is voice acted, but any actual gameplay takes place within the confines of the computer screen. So if you're hacking, you'll need to actually type in dial and then the number, and then it will call that number, and then it will say, you know, welcome to the school system. And then it'll say you need a password. And then there's different types of hacking that you can do, where one, you kind of just like take the lazy way out and you donate, or you give you kill the other processes in the computer so that you have enough to run the hack program and it'll crack it for you. And another one is if you know the password, you can just type it in. Or you can take stabs and guess at it, whichever one you want to do. basically what it boils down to. So this is where, again, this kind of game works brilliantly on PC because you just type it in, right?
Yeah.
But if you're playing it with a controller, especially on Xbox, there's some oof here. Because the way that the Xbox handles inputs, if you're not using keyboard, and unfortunately I can't find my mic right now because my living room is upheaved. But so I don't know if it supported keyboard support or not. I'm sad I didn't get to check that out. But if you're using the controller for your inputs, it's that slow slog of using the analog stick to go through the letters on the on-screen keyboard.
Oh, who uses the analog stick? You got to use the D-pad for the text.
Well, you can do that too, but either way, it's still a slog. It's going to take you to some time.
It's going to take you a lot longer if you use the analog stick, you weirdo.
I don't know. I'm particularly good at it. I type pretty fast on the Xbox, but it was still like you do it so much because it is the core of the game that it's just like the whole time I was thinking, boy, I wish I'd played this on a PC instead.
Well, I would imagine a keyboard would work for the game because on a system level, a keyboard works for text entry on the Xbox One. Like I've used that in so many different games and applications. Even if the game
doesn't support it?
Yeah, just on a system level for text entry on that text entry screen, the keyboard should be picked up.
That would be ideal. If you're going to play this, do that.
I would imagine that a USB or wireless keyboard would work just fine.
Yeah, that's an oof on my part just because we're painting my living room and I've got shit everywhere right now. And I'm not even going to lie about it. I just didn't have the hitherto to go see what the fuck one of the kids did with my wireless keyboard. It's somewhere in this house.
What color are you painting it?
The color is called Cream in My Coffee. It's like a light yellowish tan. It's very lovely.
Cream in My Coffee. Ooh, paint. Huh. Almost automatically know what that is.
Yep. From Valspar. It's very popular.
Yeah, I see that. Lowe's has a thing on it. Yeah, I approve. It's a nice neutral color.
Yeah.
I approve of this choice for your house.
Thanks. You're welcome. I'm glad to have your approval.
You're welcome, Cole.
Considering I had a lot of the house painted very bright yellow and we're hoping to move out within a not too distant future, I figured that I should probably do a neutral this time. But anyway, the game.
Yeah, Commander 85. $15 on this one. What do you think of it?
I'm more inclined to go with a try it. There are definitely
Hold on. Whoa.
But
like, wait. So I mean, all right, so we got to the part where it's just like you're dealing with your computer and stuff like that. What happens then? You're just dicking around on your computer?
Not 100%. You do get a virus. And that starts to throw things. Well, I mean,
does like the gameplay change or something like that? Or is
no, the entire time it's all on the computer and it's all text-based on the PC. Now, there will be moments where like the mother will interrupt because she's pissed at everything. And like if you make her too mad and ignore her demands, like sometimes when I was playing, she demanded I get off the computer and go grocery shopping with her to entertain my sibling. And I was like, fuck this. And then I got in trouble when she grounded me and it made me go to sleep.
Oh.
And like, you know, like basically you go to your bed and you close your eyes and then you wake back up and go back to the computer and do it all over again. So, okay. I mean, there's like an indicator in the top corner of like the mother's mood. And the more pissed off she gets because you don't do her demands, the more likely you are to get grounded and basically be forced to stop. But if you carry out her demands, you're forced to stop as well. You can also speak with your friends via walkie-talkie, and like that helps avoid you actually having to have any reason to leave the room. It's because they'll go do shit for you. Mm. So it's interesting the way they've worked out that this dude's just stuck in his room forever. And at least they've tried to break up the monotony of sit here, type in some input text, wait to see what happens. But it's not. There's just enough like jank involved that it keeps it from being a smooth gameplay experience. Especially when you're constantly the mother's interruptions are just they're constant. And I don't know how you're supposed to actually get anything done if you're trying to stay on her good side at the same time. It basically forces you to reach a point where you're like, I'm just going to have to get grounded. And so that there's no happy medium involved there. And it's like, she's like, okay, go to bed. I'm like, what is daylight? I thought I was a strict parent. Shit. Calm down, lady. You know, it's there's just enough jank though to keep it from being like a really smooth, really, you know, invested experience that it just pulls you out too many times.
All right. So, what was the overall verdict? You kind of went Jacob caused another tangent there.
Yeah.
I was curious about the game. I mean, like, it sounds kind of neat. Like, all right, and I'm going to cause another tangent here. Is it only on Xbox or is it also, like, on Steam and shit?
It's on Steam.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
I'm okay with a try it. I think, though, you have to, like, really already have some kind of nostalgia or just drive to want to play this kind of game. It's not something that the masses are going to pick up and be like, this was fucking cool. It's like, it's a little niche.
All right. And if people are interested, it is on sale for a few more days on Xbox. It is at $11.99. So if you want to save a couple of bucks and pick it up early, I think it's on sale until Tuesday. So chop, chop and get on that. All right, but that is it for this episode. We made it through another one. Jacob, thanks for being here. Aki, thanks for being here as well when she was here. Huge thanks to Ryan Niemiller for coming on and chatting with us. That was an absolute ball. Go check out his podcasts and listen to ours too, please.
Yeah, please listen.
If you're new because of Ryan, stick around. Probably not, but
we promise
try to do better. You shut your whore mouth. We don't promise shit around here.